The shooting death of a mentally ill Bronx woman by police last week has sent a familiar shudder through communities affected by mental illness. WNYC's Cindy Rodriguez says they were reminded that calling the police during a mental health crisis comes with risks.
It was 6:30 in the morning when Charles Hargraves first heard his client, Deborah Danner, had died. He was eating breakfast, turned on the TV, and heard the name of the street she lived on, Pugsley Avenue.
Could this be her? And then they said her name, and it's just sickened, really, heartbroken.
Hargraves was representing Danner against her own sister, who was declared Danner's guardian earlier this year. The case was on appeal. Hargraves last saw Danner in August.
We talked a lot about books and writing and art. She was very well read, well informed. She showed me some art that she'd done.
Danner also gave him a 6-page essay that describes debilitating self-doubt about whether her medications would work. She wrote that schizophrenia was a frightening disease that required constant vigilance over her own thoughts. Hargraves reads a few lines of her words.
I have always known that I am not always aware when I am symptomatic, when I am ill. I'm always aware when I'm well, but the vigilance doesn't stop.
Since Danner's death last week, the essay has become a touchstone for mental health advocates, an intimate record of the struggle with mental illness and the desire for dignity. It's also a primer on their problems with police. Linda Wilson runs the Staten Island chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness. She says the essay makes her numb with frustration.
We keep saying the same things over and over. Why aren't trained people sent out to our people?
Danner wrote about the all-too-frequent news stories about the mentally ill who encounter the police and end up dead. She remembered the case of Eleanor Bumpers, who was the same age, the same race, had the same mental health issues, and died the same way, in 1984. In her essay, Danner wished for better police training and better treatment of the mentally ill who are homeless or incarcerated.
She said that the above is a wish list of mine that I generated during a period of reflection on the plight of others like me. It has never been lost on me that the old adage, there but by the grace of God go I, could as easily apply to me.
Police say Danner was shot to death last week after she threatened an officer with a pair of scissors and then a baseball bat. The officer, Sergeant Hugh Berry, received basic training on how to de-escalate situations, but not the more intensive crisis intervention training aimed specifically at the mentally ill. The officers are taught empathy and what it's like to have delusions. They're taught to keep their voices low and their hands open. 4,400 police officers have received the training so far, but advocates say the NYPD needs to train at least 10,000 to handle the demand. There's been more than 128,000 calls involving an emotionally disturbed person so far this year. Wilson says without properly trained officers, there's always a risk to calling 911. So she has her training, too. Wilson tells families to say certain things, like,
my family member has mental illness. He's not taking his medication. There are no weapons in the house. And then we even tell them to meet the police outside their apartment or their house so that the police look at them and think, well, this, you know, the family doesn't look completely out of whack or whatever. And so it calms the policeman down.
The dynamics of these situations often run counter to a police officer's main job, which is to command and control situations, says civil rights attorney Jenny Marashi.
It's a huge part of police training is looking for submission, right? And people that have mental health issues are not necessarily immediately submissive for a variety of reasons.
Marashi has a bipolar client who acted out at a movie theater a few years ago, shouting at the screen. Officers escorted him out, but when they pulled out their batons, it was enough to set him off. He ended up in the hospital, and now she's suing in federal court, alleging they used excessive force. She wants the judge to order the NYPD to give more officers the enhanced training and to come up with a way to route 911 calls involving emotionally disturbed people directly to those officers.
People may not be killed, but they're then taken into a criminal justice system that isn't equipped to dealing with them. Like, these could all be prevented.
Mental health advocates say they know that police are being asked to handle situations that should be handled by a broken mental health system, and they're experimenting with ways to protect everyone involved from being harmed. One strategy is to have patients fill out documents similar to do not resuscitate orders, describing how police should approach them when they can't think for themselves.
They use past experience to say, you know, when I'm acting in this way that seems bizarre or assaultive or impaired, this is what catches my attention. This is what will help me listen.
That's Dr. Paula Panzer, Chief Clinical and Medical Officer at the Jewish Board of Family and Children's Services, which runs dozens of clinics across the city.
And that can be turned over to the helper, including the police, when they're called.
Panzer acknowledges that it doesn't happen that often because it's a difficult conversation to have about a difficult problem that has still not been solved. The shooting death of Danner is being investigated by the Bronx District Attorney. The mayor and the police commissioner have called out Sergeant Berry for not using his taser or waiting for a more experienced team to show up. The sergeant's union is defending him and says any investigation should cover not just him, but the failures of the mental health system, too. For WNYC, I'm Cindy Rodriguez.